We rejoice with Nate and Kay and the big day coming up on the 20th this month, and the wonderful way that the Lord has so clearly led them, and the work He's done in assurance in their hearts with so many miles separating them. This is another indication of the fact that we do have an inside track in that the Holy Spirit of God indwells us and leads and guides. And also appreciate that illustration here of the frustrations that can come along, of which this, I think, is just one of many that I'm sure that could be related. And even in my short time in that little part of the world, to get in on the sense of some of these. I imagine sometimes you get to the point you're so frustrated you can't even review your verses with the right attitude. I don't know, but that, I think, would be my situation. It's not only impossible, but totally unnecessary. There are certain things that are fixed, and there are other things that are changeable. It seems like most things are changeable. Life does not hold still. Change is part of life. In fact, it's necessary, or we'd stagnate. Yet, on the other hand, we resist change, I suppose, for various reasons. One, it oftentimes poses a threat to our security. We like to have things solid in the same direction. Also, sometimes change entails effort by way of adaptation and maybe new and increased responsibilities that go along with it. So there are those and other reasons, I'm sure, why we resist change. And yet, part of life, in fact, part of leadership, is adapting to change. Life does not hold still. People do not hold still. Even with the same people in the same work, it's different from week to week and month to month, because circumstances are different. People are different. They may be sick, may be well. There are various stages of growth, and so on. And I think in the Navigator work that there have been quite a few changes taking place. I'll only enumerate a few. I think the last few years, the face of the work throughout the U.S. has been changed. And I think that only those who have been able to do some travel around the country really approach appreciation of how much the face of the work, the area work in the U.S. has changed in the last few years, and I mean for the better, for the good. It is a great source of joy to me and thanksgiving to the Lord. Our overseas work, too, in these last 4 or 5 years, has been changing in its in the direction, in the investment of time, where our strokes are placed. I'll have a little more to say about this later. Our handling of finances in the Navigator work has been changing and will change and needs to be greatly improved. We had a very useful time, I thought, in the overseas discussion yesterday on the development program. And got to the discussion of what I consider some very basic issues that are fundamental to the whole Navigator structure. And to me, it's the portent of the resolving of some very basic problems that are before us. I think last year, a little over a year, 2 months ago, I made the statement that as far as I was concerned, the idea of having outside board people, non-staff people on the board, was something that I was against for this reason, that one, and the other, and I'd have to be sold on this, and I was. I spoke a little too loudly at that time, and this has proved to be good. There are other things that have changed. For instance, I was thinking the fact that our philosophy in which we've been operating in the production of Bible studies, embodying all that we know to fit as many people as possible in one type of Bible study or one scripture memory program, is being reversed to a diversity or a multiplicity, and this, of course, will have its effects in the years to come as we seek to diversify our studies, not only that which we develop ourselves, and we'll have a report on the progress of the new Bible study this morning, but not only that, but also we can adapt that other people have developed. We are not primarily in the tool manufacturing business. We're in the business of putting up houses, and we'll get anybody's tools to use, and if we have to develop our own, we will. but we're in the building business more than the tool inventing, manufacturing, and distributing. We reverse some of our ideas relative to personnel placement as it has to do with overseas GIs. And we have, I think that one of the major struggles that we are going through at this moment has to do with a changed philosophy. I don't even know if that's what you would say about the use of Glen Erie. I think that perhaps this place, as I mentioned to the Glen Coordinating Committee before the staff conference, it's more than a place, it's an emotion. It is not an institution, it is a home. And it is really interesting that emotions well up as people come to staff conference as they drive into the Glen. And these emotions may be good or bad, one way or another, depending upon their current status and also their remembrances of when they were here last. But I think that the Training Policy Conference had ended on the note last year of that pointed up a deep-seated problem that has arisen these last couple of years as to the use of the Glen and where it fits into the rest of the work. This is still not resolved, but it seems to me that we have to reckon with the fact that we do not need the Glen for the same purposes today that we did 10 years ago. 10 years ago, we had a comparatively weak U.S. area work. Today, it is immensely stronger. At that time, we were doing things at Glen Erie that now have been being taken over in a great degree by the areas in which is the way it ought to be. In fact, unless you realize this, and we think only of the Glen and try to superimpose it upon England, is to not have a correct conception of what Doug is talking about when he uses the word training center. In fact, the word training center is itself so ambiguous that it's difficult to know precisely what we're talking about. For instance, I think that the problem, as I have pointed this out both to some area men and to the people here at the Glen, as I see it, that there is a tension that exists. And the tension exists because of blurred principles. We have not yet clearly defined and worked this out, where the Glen fits today and where it will fit tomorrow, and even what we mean by the word Glen. Whether we're talking about the operations, or whether we're talking about the headquarters office, or whether we're talking about the international administrative functions. It all gets lumped into one word, the Glen, and so it's really hard to know what we're talking about. In fact, I even see that problem as so confusing that we are still thinking of some way to physically separate the various functions, so that in itself would clarify things in people's minds and help us to better isolate our problems and to resolve them. But I think that, and then what happens, and we have to guard against this, in the absence of clearly defined guidelines, if we're not very careful, then we begin to deal in personalities instead of principles. And that is one of the dangerous things of leaving things undefined. And we fix blame instead of problems. As I see the problem here at the Glen, as our work has increased around the country and overseas, there is the increasing pressure that is keenly felt to keep up to date on the work. If you recall back a few staff conferences, one of the annual things was, how come the materials aren't out on time? This person's 3 months behind, this person over here, and there's why, and so. There is a great feeling of responsibility that the work must be kept up here at headquarters. If it does not, then the rest of the work suffers. Consequently, we have to get out the materials. They must be gotten out on time. We need to get out the invitations to various area conferences and all the rest that goes along with it. And so the emphasis here and the responsibility on part of the guys is we've got to get work out. And so the feeling could be, well, we've got to get this work out. If we don't get the work out, we hear about it. And yet at the same time, there seems to be some little reluctance here about getting us the kind of people that we can use to help get this work out. The areas, on the other hand, they're commissioned with the responsibility of recruiting people. And I think that I can been around enough to speak for the most of the area men that they feel they need help in recruiting. That you can be working away with a guy on a campus or in a ship, but if you can bring him to some place like the Glen, it's useful as a recruiting tool. And so the area man says, yes, I want to see them get the work out here at the Glen. But my job is to recruit this fellow, and I want to see him stick. But also the pressure is on me to supply men. But if I supply a man before I think he's ready, then I am criticized for sending boys instead of men. And so it seems to me that we have a tension here. Work, recruiting. Is it work or is it training? And to me, the problem is more of definition and of trying to get up to date where the Glen fits into things. And I'm simply bringing this up to say that we are in the midst of change. And to try to bring our thinking up to date, at least as I see it. I think that the primary responsibility at the headquarters office is to get the work out. I think that to say that training, now there's the word quotes again, as such, say in the ministry, is not the primary purpose of the headquarters office. I think that if we have too great an emphasis on that phase of things at the Glen, it will restrict and constrict the growth of this work rather than release it for greater growth. I believe that the headquarters office over here must keep the materials out on time, must get the orders out, it must get the invitations out, because the basic thrust where we're going to grow and develop men is not here, it's out in the areas. And there are things being demanded of the headquarters office today that we didn't dream of 7, 8, 10 years ago. When we first had the Glen here, we'd have a conference, the office could virtually shut down for a week, we'd all come over and run a conference, we can go back over and pick up the loose ends. And I think that day has gone. Now, I'm speaking for myself here as I'm trying to wrestle with this problem. I think that we must keep this up to date. In fact, we are agreed, we are not really proud of that office over there, the way it looks, or its efficiency. We should have as efficient an office as there is, as can be had. And we want to see not only financial records. When the overseas people send in any of their materials to be processed, their letters, whatever it is, they get out, and they get out now. Because anything here that does not serve to unstop things for the areas and the overseas people hinders the growth of the work. So this exists, as I see it, to serve the rest of the work. Now, training is involved, as I see it, in keeping the orders current. That training is involved in not just watching the clock, but getting a job done. Regardless of how many hours this takes, it's the job that's to be done, not the hours to be put in. And getting time in the Word also. Any good office setup would have training in conjunction with it, and personnel development, and staff development. When I think of training, we have to define this word, I think a little bit more towards the idea, in the light of the Navigator objective, of training in the ministry. In evangelism, follow-up, and so on. So the Navigator work does not focus in Glen Erie. It focuses in ever-developing area works in the areas and overseas. And Glen Erie, its facilities, exist to serve these. The headquarters office exists to serve these. Now, actually, we could have a navigator work with just a small administrative group up here, and then we could just have an overseas department and a U.S. areas, and have no Glen Eyrie at all. See, it sits over here on the side somewhere. It is a facility. It is a tool. And this tool, called Glen Eyrie, houses the International Headquarters Administrative Staff. It houses the production of materials, processing, distribution, shipping, the finance department, and all of these things. It also provides facilities for a conference center. It's a tool. And in order to rightly resolve the problems that come up and will increase as this work grows, we have to break it up into bits, as I see it, and just kill our snakes, so to speak, one at a time. Another thing, if we have too much focus here, that people are going to get trained through the Glen, or even this idea that everybody has to come through the Glen as part of the pipeline. Well, we're approaching the place with the Glen. Some will and some won't. What about overseas? How many overseas staff people should actually come to the Glen for some period of time before they're actually on the international staff? Could they not be oriented as well to the navigators by Sparks and his crowd? You see, the very limitations of this place, with an expanding work, mean we have to rethink things that we have felt we should always do. I have the feeling that we have reached the place where we cannot take your young fellows and gals that you've been working with, pouring your life into, who are not yet recruited to the vision or to the work, and take them and put them in the headquarters office and both get our work done and done on time and recruit them to the vision and to the work. I don't think we can do those at the same time. And I don't think that there's anybody in the staff with the capabilities of being able to do this and keep up with the rapidly expanding responsibility, the right management of our funds, getting the use of $1,000 a month that we're paying for the data processing and all these things that relate to the total work, nor do I think we have to do this. So it seems to me that we need at the Glen what I call sort of a halfway house. We need a place to which we can bring, just what precise form it will take, I don't know, people that you've been working with in your area that you'd like to see recruited to the vision and to the navigators, whether it's a 2-week or a 1 month or 6 weeks or all summer, but it's a separate program that does not now exist at the Glen. They would have its own people running it, and they would come not to be assigned to a job, but they would come for lectures, for discussion, for individual time, for research, for being brainwashed on nav basic beliefs, nav history, navigator objective, overall perspective, where we relate to the total body of Christ, and this kind of thing. And then whoever runs this could call up Newkirk and say, I've got 8 fellows who be free on Wednesday afternoon. Could you use them out clearing brush? We've got 10 girls that could do some collating of B-ration cipher. Could you use them? So they would be assigned from this program over to work and help in some of those things, but would not be part of this office structure. Then from this group, people would come then to work with the navigators in the office or in Glen Eyrie operations. And they would feel, yes, I am coming to make my contribution to work with the navigators, whatever that takes. So then the basis on which they're coming is clearly understood. Because you fellows in the areas, you need help in the recruiting. We've got to get the work done, and we haven't figured out how to do both at once. So it seems to me, whatever form this takes, we need to see some sort of a halfway house. Now, you say, where do we stand now? We're evolving this thing. And as far as personnel for the fall is concerned, what we do, the last orders are the ones we'll follow. And that is, we'll keep on as we have been in the past, and we do not have worked out this halfway house or this procedure, so we need to carry on as we have recently, although certain evolvements are being made. It's always a problem to me to wonder how much advanced thinking to do. We have proved to be very poor prophets. And in the log, for instance, we used to say, we intend to do thus and so on, we intend to do thus and so on. It got so embarrassing that we got the policy, let's report it. One, it's history. And even then, if we slip up once in a while, it seemed to me like 50% of the time we were wrong. It didn't turn out that way. The other hand, there's no point to having secrets. We don't want to hold anything secret, big, dark, little things that are held and tight in a little administrative circle. As soon as the thing can be talked about, we want to talk about it. And all I'm doing now is to express to you some of the thinking that's going on to try to resolve this thing. And we're going to have to think in different terms, I think, than we have thought of just traditionally for 10 years. That's what I'm saying. The change is necessary. Now, you'll have ideas and suggestions, and maybe you'll take some turn that I haven't thought of mentioning to you at this time. But we have a different work today, and new problems, new situations, and we need to get up to date. I was with Jim White, and he was relating the problem that they had with an InterVarsity staff member in West Virginia. And as he related it to me, I said, I'll dare say that that staff member is 5 years behind the current policy of the leadership of InterVarsity. So Bob Sparks and I, when I came through Chicago, went to see Charlie Troutman. We explained the situation. I said, tell me, is he up to date on your policy? He said, no, he's not. Well, I, from another work, knew that their own staff member was 4 to 5 years behind the current thinking of their leadership in his own organization. But I said, I don't think that's unique to you. That's unique to us. And part of it is, of course, is our own fault in communication. Also, I think that we're, generally speaking, rather lagging behind, and particularly in rapid changing days like we're in. Another thing. Training is done essentially like Jesus did it, on the job. You see, if we continue to have an undue focus at the Glen, then we are focusing institutionally. But it seems to me that our focus must constantly be outward in this little man with his small little group, this man with his little group, this man with his group, so that the one and the 12, so to speak, out there is the constant thrust. Both the U.S. and around the world. So that training really is a line responsibility. Area representatives train area representatives. Office managers train office managers. The apprenticeship system. Now, in our office, there should be character development. There should be a lot of things that would relate to the overall ministry. But certain kinds of training take place there. Certain kinds take place in the areas. Certain kinds can take place in this halfway house I talk about. And so, therefore, it seems to me that the key men to work this out are the area men. Because Glen Eyrie, its facility, exists really, I want to know what percentage, 80 or 85% for the U.S. area work. So they're the men that should come up with, well, what do we need to better do our job? Maybe you feel you need something in the realm of recruiting or the developing of people that I haven't mentioned. That's something brand new that we could utilize this for. Now, people have said, well, then, maybe we don't need this addition on the castle. Maybe the Glen isn't as important as it was. It is not as important proportionately. Because the work out there is going like this. But Glen Eyrie itself, I am convinced in my own heart, will have increasing demands on it. Till it is, in fact, being utilized fully year-round. I see it taxed to capacity. And we fact that's one of our jobs, is to see to it that a tool is used to capacity. So I would say that it's it's not as important in proportion to the whole, but in proportion to itself, it will be bigger. For instance, I'm wondering if we should even use the word training center here at Glen Eyrie. If really we aren't talking more about a teaching center. And by a simple shift of terms, we have one teaching center and 20 training centers around the country. Instead of one so-called training center. Actually, Ron York has a small one-man training center over in Korea, doesn't he? Isn't that what he's doing? Recruiting and training men in the ministry. Isn't that what you're doing in the area? So whether the word teaching, now that wouldn't sound too good in our brochures, I don't think. And parenthetically, I'm taking too long. I'll have to quit here just a minute. I was supposed to take, what time did I start, Leroy? Well, I know it's, I think I'm 5 minutes beyond my time. Oh, the administrative structure, some changes there. That's not so important. Let's stand up for a moment and let these other guys get up.